Luke chapter number 1. Test, test. Test, test.
Why is it not turned on?
Luke chapter 1. Am I here?
There we go. Luke chapter 1. There we go. Luke chapter number 1. As we continue our series on Fear Not. Last time, of course, we began this series looking at the four times in the Christmas story the phrase fear not shows up. Last time we examined fear not to Zacharias and talked about how we shouldn't fear in life's postponements. When God delays things, when God doesn't do what we expect, we shouldn't fear. God has a plan. Today we're going to look like at in our purpose, fear not. Once you're there, Luke chapter number 1, verse number 26, let's stand. Luke 1, verse 26, and we'll read through verse number 38 as we jump in here this morning. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 26. Here's what it says there. And in the sixth month, that is 6 months from when Elizabeth conceived, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused, or kind of almost engaged, how we would think, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Verse 31, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is a sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we jump in here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd speak through your word as it's presented today. Give me the words to say that can be a comfort and encouragement to your people. I pray that you would strengthen and help every one of us to have hearts to hear and hearts to obey, Lord, as we look at this example here of Mary. Strengthen us in these things, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray it all. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Can you pull my mic down? It's getting a little tinny if you can, Brother Brian. Thank you. This passage here, of course, is the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and giving Mary a bit of guidance, a bit of instruction, a bit of knowledge as to what God had for her life. As I was examining this and considering this topic of fear not, I came up and really the Lord impressed upon me this idea of purpose. We don't know a lot about Mary. As a matter of fact, we know that she was a virgin at this point, obviously. We know that she was someone that served the Lord, someone that feared the Lord. But really, this chapter is the main thing we know about Mary. After Mary has Jesus, she kind of drifts into obscurity. She shows up a few times in the gospel passage and a few times in the gospel message. She's there when Jesus is crucified in some other passages. But really, this is the main purpose, if you will, of her life. This is the main thing that God wanted her to do. Can I explain it this way? In our lives, sometimes it's hard for us to find our purpose, is it not? Sometimes we look at our lives and see, and consider, why are we here? What's the reason for being here? Why does God want me to exist? I want us to consider three ideas from this example, from the life of Mary. Three ideas that should give you and I purpose, that can cause us to not fear, even in the midst of a purpose that potentially can be a little concerning. Number one, our purpose in life is to, number one, receive. Number two, our purpose in life is to reveal. Number three, our purpose in life is to respond. First off, let's consider receiving. You see this in verse number 28. Look at it. This is Gabriel's reaction, Gabriel's greeting to Mary. And it's a very interesting greeting. Now, let me first say, just to start us off, I understand that this is a greeting that applies to Mary, but as you'll see in just a moment, I believe that it applies to us as well. First off, let's consider God's provision in this passage. Look at it, verse number 28. The angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored." That word, highly favored, literally is the same word we get for grace. It's someone that has received grace, that God has shown, has illustrated, has poured out his grace upon someone. Can I just say, friend, if you're a child of God, God has poured out his grace on you. Is that not true? That God has given you grace. Amen, folks? God has given us grace. Can I say one of our purposes in a very real way is for God to pour out his grace upon us? Why was John Utley born September 12th, 1984? I was born for the specific reason that God, in part, would pour out his grace in my life. And can I say, that's the same in your life. God poured out his grace toward us. Ephesians 1, verse number 7, you see it in your handout. It says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." If you are a child of God, God poured out the riches of his grace. God poured out forgiveness of sins. God poured out all of the redemption through his blood. God has given you grace. In a very real sense, you are highly favored. God's on your side. First off, let me consider and let me remind you that this is a passive provision. Mary didn't necessarily do anything to earn this. Sometimes we think of Mary as someone that's a super saint or something like that. I'm here to tell you and to remind you that Mary was a sinner just like you and I are sinners. As a matter of fact, if you look down just a little bit, Mary goes to Elizabeth in verse number 46. Mary sings a song and says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God." What's the next two words? "My Savior." Can I say, friends, Mary could never do anything to earn God's grace. God poured out his grace willingly. God was the active participant. You and I are the passive participants. Am I making sense here, folks? Not one of us deserve an ounce of God's grace on our lives. Is that not true? Every one of us, is that not true, friends? Every one of us are sinners in the sight of God. It's a passive provision of grace. Number two, it's a plentiful provision of grace. In verse number 28, it says that she was highly favored. She's not just favored. She didn't just get God's grace, but she got God's grace poured out abundantly. And by the way, can I just say, friend, if you examine what God has done for you, you've gotten God's grace poured out abundantly in your life. Have you not? Now, we might look at our lives and we might say, "Well, wait a second, Pastor, I got problems in my life." And can I remind you? I got problems in my life too. But God's been abundantly gracious. Y'all with me, friends? If all you ever got was salvation and every moment of your life after that was terrible, can I say God had still been abundantly gracious to you? Y'all with me, friends? Eternity is far greater than the little things that we stress about. God's provision. Number one, what's our purpose? Our purpose is to receive God's provision. Number two, our purpose is to receive God's presence. Look at verse number 28 again. "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." And by the way, can I just remind you that God is with us as well? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." The next two words there, you see it in your handout, "in Christ," verse number 4. "According as he has chosen us," what's the next two words? "In him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. What's the next two words? Before him in love. What's this passage saying? In summary, here's what it's saying. That we are in Christ, that we are in him, that we are before him. The word before him is a very interesting word. It has the idea of face to face. By the way, can I just say, praise the Lord that I can stand face to face with my maker because of Christ. Y'all with me, friends? God has been pretty good to me, yes? And part of my purpose, part of my reason for existing, part of the reason why I'm still here and God hasn't called me home is, number one, so I can continue to be a conduit for his grace. Number two, so I can receive and so I can illustrate his presence. You see in this passage, God's presence, his greatness. His greatness, it says, the Lord is with thee. The Lord speaks of his eternality, of his rule, of his reign, of who he is. Can I tell you, friends, we don't just have anybody with us. We have the Lord with us. Amen? Whenever you look at the Old Testament and you see a character that is described as having the Lord with them, that they are able to do things that they wouldn't be able to do before. Can I tell you, friends, God is with you. Is that not good news? That the Lord is with you. Y'all with me, folks? If you don't, amen, I'm going to preach longer, okay? God is, there we go, amen. The Lord is with us. That's great news. God's presence, his greatness is with us. God's closeness, he is with us. In a real way, of course, Mary is going to have God within her. But can I tell you, friends, you and I have God within us, do we not? We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We have the power of God working through us. We have the Word of God directing us. Can I tell you, friends, we have God's presence. Praise the Lord for that. Amen? When you look at life and you say, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know why my reason for being here is. Number one, it's to show God's provisions in your life. Number two, it's to show God's presence in your life. Number three, what's your purpose in life? Number three, it's to show God's praise in your life. Verse number 28, he continues and says, blessed art thou among women. I find it interesting. Brother Daniel mentioned that he preached a message yesterday at the funeral. I went over there for the funeral. And Brother Daniel, you did a great job, brother. I was going to have you preach this morning, but I didn't think you'd like that too much. Brother Daniel did a great job. Brother Daniel did what we sometimes called a eulogy. You've heard that term, right? A eulogy, maybe? A eulogy is something that's described in a funeral to kind of praise someone, to kind of lift up someone, to kind of go and say, oh, this person did these good things, and here are things that we remember about them, that kind of thing. You might have heard that term before. That's exactly this word, blessed. It's literally eulogeo, to eulogize. In a very real way, here's what it's saying. It's saying that God is going to praise you and is praising you. Now, can I just say, friends, I don't get that. I don't understand that. How God could praise us. Here's the example, okay? We know the story of Job. You remember the story of Job, right? Job is a man that fears God, hates evil. The book starts off with that. Job was a perfect man. Not perfect in a sense of sinless, but hey, he did things right as best he could. He feared God. He hated evil. And you see that all of God's created hosts gather before God. And you see something interesting in that passage in Job. God goes to Satan and says, hey, have you considered Job? He's a perfect man. He fears God. He hates evil. What's God doing? God's praising Job. Can I just say something, friends, that I don't begin to understand, but I know it's true because the Bible says it. When I live for the Lord, you know what God does? God goes and says, hey, look at that John Utley. He's serving me. Look at that guy. I don't get it. I don't understand it. That does not make sense in my puny little brain. Y'all with me, folks? Because I fought way too much. Y'all with me? Yes? It doesn't make sense in my brain, but in a very real sense, here's what it's saying, that God praised Mary. She was receiving praise from God. Blessed art thou among women. And this is what God viewed her as. Number two, she was going to receive praise from others. Later on, we see Elizabeth going and saying the exact same phrase, verse number 42. You can see it if you're curious. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Literally, here's Elizabeth, and she's going, and she's saying, hey, you deserve praise. Hey, this is a great thing. Now, I don't believe, and I'm going to make it very clear, and I want to be totally obvious here. Obviously, Mary is not the one that we ultimately praise. Who's the one we ultimately praise, friend? Jesus Christ, our Savior. But very clearly here, in some way, because Mary lived for God, God says, hey, I'm going to praise you for living for me. Mary doesn't get us to heaven. Mary is the means whereby the Savior came. But clearly, Mary was living for the Lord, and the Lord says, hey, well done. Well done. Can I just say, friends, in my life, I want well done. You with me, folks? What's my purpose in life? There's so many people that go and say, hey, why do I exist? What's the reasoning? Why should I be here? I know of someone that just committed suicide just this past week. Good friend of Brother George. Why are we here? Can I tell you, friends? Number one, we're here to receive God's grace, God's provision. We're here to receive God's presence. We're here to receive God's praise. God is giving some things. Number one. Number two, why are we here? We're here to receive. Number two, we're here to reveal. Verse number 31, the angel says in verse 30, and really our theme of this passage, why we're in this passage, the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Same word that's used in verse number 28. Let's continue verse 31. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Now I want you to think here, friends. Stay with me here. Did Jesus begin to exist when he was conceived of Mary? Yes or no? No. Jesus was eternally present. Yes? John chapter 1 makes that very clear. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. You with me, friends? Jesus existed from eternity past. So what did Mary do here? Mary revealed Jesus. Mary made Jesus, the Son of God, evident to a world. Now, I'm not grasping at straws here because I think that's very clear in what is said as we continue on. Look at it. Because Gabriel goes and tells Mary, hey, there's some things, some important things that you need to know about this son. I need to hurry through them. Number one, that Jesus is the Savior. Verse number 31, it says very specifically, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now, you've heard the name Jesus all the time. You probably are like, okay, yes, I know Jesus. I've heard that. If you know the name Jesus, what it means, would you say it with me? Jehovah is salvation. Good, a few of you know it. Jehovah is salvation. Now note that the name Jesus was given by God. You with me, friends? So therefore, there's a reason, there's a purpose behind the name, is there not? Okay, if God says, hey, name him this, then you better believe God's not just wasting his breath. Right? God's not, well, name him Jesus, because I kind of like the name, it just sounds good. That's not what God's thinking, right? God's not up in heaven like, you know, I just kind of like the name Jesus, and I want to hear it for the rest of eternity. So, you know, just name it. That's not what he's doing. There's a reason behind it. Jesus is the Savior. The meaning of the name, the purpose of the name. Thou shalt call his name. The idea is this. If I can explain this concept, it's a concept that's kind of foreign to us. See, Jesus quite literally means Jehovah is salvation. So anytime you see in the Gospels someone mentioning the name Jesus, they are actually literally saying Jehovah is salvation. Does that make sense? For example, my name is Jonathan. That means gift of Jehovah. Thank you. Yes, I am. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. My name means gift of Jehovah, Jonathan. So literally, if you came to me and you said, hey, gift of Jehovah, how you doing? And I would go to Joshua. Joshua is the same meaning as Jesus. It's just the Old Testament versus the New Testament. So if I went to my son Josh, I would go to Josh and I would say, hey, Jehovah Salvation, how are you doing? And Josh would say back to me, good, gift of Jehovah, how are you? Oh, I'm doing great. Jehovah is salvation. Am I making sense here, folks? Every time, every single time you see the name Jesus, that's what someone is saying. Does that give a little bit more emphasis to, hey, call his name Jesus? Can I say, friends, we have a very specific purpose, and that's to reveal that Jesus is the Savior. You say, Pastor, no, what's my purpose? That's your purpose. No, Pastor, I mean in my life, I mean in my work. No, that's your purpose. To reveal that Jesus is the Savior. No, Pastor, I mean, what am I going to do? You know, hey, sickness has affected my body. I can't do some of the things I used to do. No. Reveal that Jesus is Savior. Can I tell you, friends, there's nothing greater to reveal than the fact that Jesus is Savior? You with me, friends? Not Jesus is a Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the only hope for eternity. You with me, friends? Reveal Jesus. He's the Savior. Number two, I need to hurry. Verse number 31. Number two, reveal Jesus as the Supreme. Verse number 32, it says that he shall be great. He shall be great. Meaning, hey, reveal that he's number one. I posted a kind of funny meme. I enjoy posting funny memes. Yeah, you guys are like, really? No, I didn't know that. Okay, I posted this funny meme, and it has all these different camels, and they're riding along. And on the back of the camel, it has a bumper sticker, and one parent says, oh, my student is an honor roll student. And another one says, oh, well, my student got all A's in college. And another bumper sticker says, my son is God. And I thought it was funny. None of you laughed. Thank you. I need to have like a sign. Laugh now. I thought it was funny. But in a very real sense, what did Mary constantly do? She was trying to lift up Jesus, yes? In the marriage supper there at Cana, what happens? They run out of wine juice. I don't believe it was alcoholic, very clearly from the context. But they run out of wine. What does she do? Hey, whatever he says, do it. Why? Lifting up Jesus. Jesus is supreme. Can I just say, friends, Jesus should be supreme in our lives. What's your purpose in life? Pastor, what's my purpose? Number one, to reveal that Jesus is Savior. Number two, to reveal that Jesus is supreme. He's number one. Number three, what's my purpose? To reveal that Jesus is the Son. Verse number 32, again, same idea. He shall be great and shall be called, same word as earlier. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. Number one, it's a very clear identity. He will be called the Son of the Highest. Number two, it's a very conceived identity. In verse number 35, he says, as he's explaining the virgin birth, we talked about that a bit more on Wednesday, but as he's explaining the virgin birth, here's what he says, verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Can I say in a very real way, not only was Jesus just called the Son of God, he was the Son of God. Not only was he just called the Savior, he was the Savior. Not only was he just called God, he is God. Number one, reveal Jesus as Savior. Number two, reveal Jesus as Sovereign. Number three, reveal Jesus as the Son. Number four, reveal Jesus as Sovereign. Sometimes we get a little concerned about this because of Calvinism and things like that, but can I just remind you, friend, it doesn't matter what Calvinism says, Jesus is still the King. You all with me, friends? Jesus is still on the throne. You all with me? Yes? Jesus is still on the throne. And very clearly in this passage, it makes it clear. Look at verse number 32 as we continue. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Verse 33. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Can I tell you, friend? Jesus is still king. And by the way, if Jesus is not king of your life, then there is a problem as a child of God. If Jesus is not making the calls in your life, there is a problem in your life as a child of God. You with me, friends? What God says is okay is okay. What God says is not okay is not okay. Doesn't matter what culture says. Doesn't matter what your friends say. Doesn't matter what anybody says. Jesus is the King. You with me, friends? Reveal him as the King. In how you live, in how you walk. What's my purpose, Pastor? Your purpose is to reveal Jesus as the Savior, to reveal Jesus as Supreme, number one, to reveal Jesus as the Son of God, to reveal Jesus as Sovereign, as the King of your life. You all with me, friends? You say, well, Pastor, I thought when we're talking about purpose, we're talking about something a little bit more more personal, like what am I supposed to do with my job, with my career? No, friends, this is the most important thing. Reveal Jesus. Number one, when we're talking about purpose, number one, receive. Receive what God has said about you. Number two, reveal who Jesus is. Number three, respond. Respond. This is kind of wrapping point one and point two together, if you will. Let me explain. Point one is kind of, okay, here's how God views you. Yes? God views you as someone that I have poured out grace on. God considers you as someone that his presence is with. God considers you as someone that he praises and lifts up and says, hey, look at that person. Look how they're serving. But there's some purpose. There's some reasons. We got to reveal Jesus in our life. So the question is, how are these two going to mesh? Am I making sense here? How are these two going to coalesce, if you will? Look at it. Verse number 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, power of the high shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. At verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, which hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is 6 months with her, who is called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Number one, how do we respond? Number one, be settled. Be settled. Be settled. Be settled in God's presence. Can I say, friends, in verse number 35, it says the Holy Ghost will settle upon Mary, but in a very real sense, the Holy Ghost is settled upon every one of us if we're a child of God. Jesus made it very clear in the book of John, chapter 14 through 16, that when he went away, he sent the Holy Spirit unto us, and he dwells with us, and he remains in us. Can I say, friends, the very same Holy Spirit that rested on Mary is the very same Holy Spirit that you have in your life. Be settled in that. You have purpose because God lives in you. Y'all with me, friends? So when you go and you look at your life and you say, what's the purpose? What's the reason? Why do I even exist? What does God want for me in my life? Friend, God wants so much for you in your life that he gave himself to live in you. God has a purpose. God has a presence in your life. In God's presence, be settled. Number two, in God's power, be settled. Verse number 35, it says, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Certainly the power of God rested upon Mary, but in a very real sense, the power of God rests upon all of us. Jesus said very clearly to his disciples, without me, you can do nothing. But Philippians chapter 4, you've probably heard it many times. Even sports people sometimes quote it. It says, I can do all things through who? Christ, which strengthens me. Can I say, friend, the power of God rests upon you. Be settled in that. Picking on Daniel again. Daniel was all nervous before the message and all that stuff. I was talking to him before in the visitation, and he's all scared. I remember about a week ago, Daniel came into my office, and before Wednesday, and he said, Pastor, what do you say in a funeral? And I'm like, well, what do you mean, you know? And he said, well, what do you say? Like, what do you do? What's the order? He's got notes, and he's like furiously writing down all the notes. And I'm like, well, here's a few funerals that I've done, if this helps you. And I tried to print some out for him. And he was nervous, and certainly, you know, I get that. You know, I get to preach in front of all you guys all the time. So, yeah, I get it. But he was nervous about it. But can I say, Daniel, you know this is true, right? God worked through it, right? And God works through us. Why? Not because of Daniel, not because of me, but because of who? God. So rest, be settled in the power of God. God's going to work through this, friends. Consider Mary here. This is a scary thing that Mary is hearing. You're going to have a son. Well, time out a second. I haven't been intimate with my soon-to-be fiancé, Joseph. What's Joseph going to say? She had no assurance in this passage that Joseph was going to stay with her. You all with me, folks? Gabriel says nothing about Joseph. Well, what's society going to say? Gabriel says nothing about society. You all with me, friends? Gabriel doesn't say a thing. Did you know, according to the law, she could be stoned? We'll look at that next week. She could be cast out of the city, thrown stones at until it busted her skull in, then put a giant pile of stones over top of her. That's what Mary's looking at. Y'all with me, friends? But she's so resting on the presence of God and the power of God that she says, okay, I'll submit, I'll serve. Can I tell you, friends, whatever you have in front of you that you say, I don't know if I can serve God, it is nothing compared to what she had. Nothing. Nothing. In God's presence, be settled. In God's power, be settled. Number three, in God's proofs, be settled. I love what Gabriel says here. He says, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, who also hath conceived a son in her old age. This is 6 months with her, it was called barren. What's Gabriel doing here? He's saying, hey, look at how God's worked in this person. Yeah? Is that not what he's doing? Hey, check out how God's worked in Elizabeth. If you have some concerns about how God's going to work in your life, look at somebody else and how God's worked in them. And are you all with me, friends? The reality of our life is this, that yeah, sometimes we face things that are really scary, do we not? And sometimes we face things that we don't know how to handle it. But if we look around, we will see that God is always working, right? That there are examples, there are evidences of the power of God, that there's evidence that God's presence is still there, that God is doing the impossible. And so Gabriel goes and says, hey, look at some proofs here. You remember Elizabeth, your cousin? She's called barren. She's a woman that's well stricken in age. She's old. She's 6 months pregnant. Now, in this passage, it seems that Mary didn't know that. Because immediately after, what does Mary do? She goes and visits Elizabeth. Why? Why did Mary go and visit Elizabeth? I don't know why, apart from the very clear fact that Mary needed to see proof that God was going to work in her life. She needed to be around some people that God had worked in their life. Am I making sense here, friends? She had to be around some people that she could easily see and could understand that, hey, God has a plan and God has a purpose to it. And I don't understand it. I don't get it all the time. I get confused by it. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't understand, but I know that God's presence is there and God's power is there. And I see the proof. And so therefore, I can move forward in God's purpose that he's given to me. Am I making sense here, friends? That's why our friendships matter. If you hang around people that God is doing nothing in their life, guess what? You'll look at your life and you'll say, well, God's not doing anything in my life. Right? If you hang around people that go and actively tear down God, that actively go against God, then don't be surprised if you eventually actively go against God. But if you hang around some people that are evidently doing something for God and God is working in their midst, can I tell you, friend, that strengthens our faith, does it not? It emboldens us to go and take that step, even though it's confusing, even though it's concerning, even though we don't know what God's working through, even though we don't get all the details. They're saying, Mary, did you know? And I've said before, I don't know how much Mary knew. I know Mary knew some things, but I don't know that Mary knew everything. But she trusted God. Be settled. Be settled in God's presence. Be settled in God's power. Be settled in God's proof. Number four, be settled in God's position. I love verse number 37. Verse number 37, a very familiar verse, but don't miss it just because it's familiar. Verse 37, it says this, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. What's the focus here, friends? It's God. Is it not? Gabriel's saying this. Hey, Mary, can I just remind you something real quick? Who are we talking about? We're talking about God here, yeah? So Mary, you don't understand it all, and I get it. You don't see all the picture. You don't see every single step. You don't see how Joseph's going to respond or how culture's going to respond, how society will respond. You don't see all that, and I understand that. But remember, we're talking about God here. And God works it out. And God cares. And God loves. You all with me, friends? What I find very interesting in this passage is God doesn't reveal everything about Mary's purpose, does he? Doesn't reveal every little detail. But God reveals the next step and says, hey, trust me. Is that not what he does? If I'm summarizing it, is that not what God does? God says, here's the next step. Now trust me. Be settled. Number two, and I'll close real quickly. Be serving. Verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Notice number one, the position for service in Mary's mind was the handmaid of the Lord. The handmaid is the lowest of the low servant. Now remember, the angel Gabriel just said, hey, blessed are you among women. Yes? You with me, friends? Hey, I have a great purpose. Hey, the Son of God is going to come for you. Now, I don't know about you, but most of us would be like, yeah, it's about time. I knew that God would have picked me because, I mean, let me tell you. I mean, look at all the people around me. They're a big mess, right? Of course God would pick me. No, what does Mary say? No, I'm a servant. As a matter of fact, I'm not just a servant. Three words for servant in the Bible. She goes to the lowest one. The servant that would do the jobs that no one would do. The servant that would wash the feet. The servant that would empty out chamber pots. You know what a chamber pot is, right? That's the servant that she says. She says, Lord, I'm nothing. If you want to use me in whatever purpose you want to use me, that is fine. I'm going to serve. And I don't understand what will happen. I don't understand how Joseph will take it. I don't know how to understand how society will take it. But Lord, in the purpose that you have placed for me, I will serve. Can I tell you, friend, God has a purpose for you. And you can either choose to be like, you know what? Nope, that's below me. Nope, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to serve that way. Or you can go and say, Lord, I'm just your servant. Hey, look at me. That's all I am. God, I'm nothing. But I'm willing to serve you. You all with me, friends? Position for service, number two, submission for service. Verse number 38, she says, be it unto me according to thy word. She says, hey, you can do whatever you want. Now, I'm not saying this in a sensual way or anything like that. Obviously, I don't believe there's any kind of wicked thing going on here very clearly. But in a very real sense, Mary's saying, hey, Lord, if you want to use me in this way, then use me. Lord, I'm surrendering. Sing the song, sometimes I surrender all, right? That's kind of what Mary's saying. She's saying, hey, I'll surrender my potential, the love of my life, Joseph, if that's what it takes. Because remember, Mary doesn't know that everything's going to work out. Hey, I'll surrender my life if that's what it takes. I'll surrender my reputation if that's what it takes. I'll surrender all of it if that's what it takes. Because I'm willing to serve you, Lord. Can I say, friends, we get some Christians that have that kind of heart. Y'all with me? We get some Christians that have that kind of purpose. Go and say, hey, I'm settled in what God is and what he wants for me, and I'm just willing to serve. It doesn't matter how I serve, I'm willing to serve. It doesn't matter what it is, I'm willing to do it. Lord, I don't understand how it'll work. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand all the details, but you're God and I'm not, so I'm just going to trust you. Friend, in your purpose for life, that's what it is. It's you to lift up Jesus and to step back. As John says later on, he must increase, I must decrease. Friend, my challenge to you is this. Understand what God has done for you. God has poured out his love to you. He cares about you. Receive that with grace and with understanding, knowing that he wanted you. By the way, never get over that. Lift up Jesus and respond properly to him. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around as Beck makes her way to the piano. A few very simple questions. First question is this. See, Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I just don't know. I got doubts. I got questions. I'm just not sure. Friend, can I make it very clear? If Mary needed a Savior, you need a Savior. All of us need a Savior. Y'all with me? There's not one of us in this room or in all of humanity that ever didn't need Jesus. You need Jesus and I need Jesus. Your good works, your attending church, your being a good person, your trying to turn over a new leaf will never be enough. You need a Savior. God knew that, so he sent the Son of God, the perfect one, the Lamb without blemish and without spot, to this earth to die for you. He sent Jesus, God's salvation, to you. Say, Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I've had doubts. I've had questions. I'm just not sure. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to even ask you to come forward, but I want to catch you after the service, okay? Things can get busy. I can get talking to people. I don't want to miss you, and I want to help you. I didn't have time to go through everything about salvation here in this message, but I want to spend time with you, and I want to make that clear if you have questions. So you say, Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I just don't know. Pastor, I want to talk to you after that after the service. I want to get that settled. If that's you, would you just pop your hand up for just a second? And I'll see it. And I'll catch you after the service. Anybody at all? I don't know for sure. I got questions. I got doubts. I want to talk to you about it. Anybody? Second question, main focus of this message. You say, Pastor, in my purpose for life, I've been wavering. I've been lifting up Christ like I should be. Maybe it's I haven't understood how Christ views me like I should. So I view life like there's no purpose at all because I don't see that God loves me and He poured out His grace and He poured out His love and He's with me and He cares about me. I haven't seen that, and so I've lost it. Maybe you go and you say, you know what? I haven't been lifting up Jesus like I should. I've been kind of lifting up myself. Maybe you say, yeah, I know both things, but I haven't put them together in my life and I haven't moved forward for God. You say, Pastor, in some way, my purpose for life isn't what it needs to be and I need to straighten some things out today. If that's you, would you raise your hand? That's me. I need to straighten some things out in my life. My purpose for life is not what it should be, and I need to straighten some things out. I need to get it to where Christ wants it. Good, thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Friend, if that's you, then today you get it squared away. What God dealt with you about, you deal with it. You go to Him and you say, Lord, this is a problem. This is what your Holy Spirit pointed out, and so this is how I need to change it. Let's stand. Let's go before the Lord, can we? Dear Heavenly Father, you see in the hands, you know the hearts, you know what's going on in each circumstance, in each situation. I pray for these that raise their hand, that were not ashamed, that were not embarrassed, that said in some way in their life, they have not seen the purpose, that either they're living for the wrong purpose or they're not having a purpose. Lord, I pray that as I presented the life of Mary here in this passage, that, Lord, you have spoken to their life to reveal in them the steps that they need to make to fulfill that purpose, to accomplish what you have put them on this earth for. Lord, we need some more Christians that are motivated by who you are and by what you've done, that aren't ashamed, that aren't embarrassed, that aren't afraid, but, Lord, move forward in faith and assurance. Lord, despite the potential uncertainties, strengthen us today, we pray, through your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray it all. As Becky plays, here's my challenge to you. Go before the Lord. If you want to come forward, I'd be glad to pray with you. If you go and you say, Pastor, I need some counseling on this. I need to just talk. I need to get some things squared away. There's more here than I could ever possibly deal with in just an altar call. If that's the case, then I want you to catch me after service. Catch a good friend that you know that God is working in their life. Maybe you have some friend, you don't have the right kind of friends. You're hanging around people that are dragging you down rather than being an illustration of God's grace. Maybe you need to deal with that. I don't know what God is dealing with you about, but right now you seek Him. And you get your purpose right. To lift up Christ and to serve Him. Right now, seek the Lord. Can we sing the chorus to the song that Becky's playing? Grace, grace, God's grace. Let's sing it. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that's greater. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord for God's amazing grace. Amen. Amen. Listen, friends, make your plans. Be back tonight. Again, Christmas, church.